You have your scriptures this morning. Find, if you would, please, the book of 1 Samuel. When you get to the book of 1 Samuel, if you'd find the 17th chapter, that will be our text this morning. 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. Today being the Sunday before we go back to school, I wanted to preach a message that involved our youth. And so I'll give you the title and tell you about it after I read you the text this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would find verse number 28. The Bible says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? If you have a pen or a pencil or a highlighter, I would love for you to highlight that question that David asked. Very, very important question. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner." I'll explain that in a minute. "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a," would you say that word, class, "a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." I want to preach a message today that in my heart is a defense. It's a treatise. I'm preaching a message today entitled, "What Have We Done?" And I am preaching this message in defense of our youth. I'm preaching the message in defense of our youth. And if I could give you a mindset, I would take you from middle school to millennials. Middle school to millennials. I need to say at the outset of this message that you cannot take this message further than the Spirit of God preaches it. You cannot take this message to the extreme. And I'm going to try to guard against extremism today. But I am asking God to take this message and to inspire our church. And I'm asking God to take this message and to inspire our young people today. And I'm asking him to inspire the old people. I almost entitled it Old Buck, Young Buck. But most of you have never seen a buck a day in your life. And I don't mean a dollar bill. I mean one that has horns. A deer hunter delight. But God didn't let me. My heart was burdened with this question that David asked. What have I now done? If I could put it in today's vernacular, David would have said in the midst of this passage, "Can somebody please tell me what I do wrong?" I believe that this question has been asked and is still being asked by the youth of our country and our world today. Can somebody please tell me what we've done wrong? When you search the setting of this scripture, you find that the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel is one of the greatest historical chapters in the Bible. It deals with David and the giant whose name is Goliath. Not only has this found its love within the walls of our Sunday schools and our junior churches and our children's programs and our youth programs and within the auditoriums of our churches, but it has also found a lodging within the understanding of the world. They write books about it. They refer to it. They've made movies about it. Everyone on the planet that has any understanding of the Bible knows about David and Goliath. fascinating, one of the great events that is recognized around the world. In the 17th chapter, the nation of Israel is at battle, and they're at a battle with their fiercest enemies, the Philistines. And to understand the question that comes from the heart and mind of David, you need to understand the intensity of the moment. You will find that as you read in verse number 1 that the Philistines have gathered together their armies to battle. And they're gathered together in those places. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. And they set the battle in array is what verse number 2 talks about. And the Philistines stood upon a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. I need you to see the battlefield. I need you to see two mountains. I need you to see the army of the Philistines on one. And I need you to see the army of the nation of Israel on the other. And there is this valley where this battle is about to take place. There in that moment, the Philistines make a strategic move in the battle. Verse number 4, they call upon their champion. You should read as it says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. His name is Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. The scholars tell me that's 9 feet 9 inches. That's taller than Ben Branch. He had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with a coat of mail, about 150 pounds. He had the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. I think I read 15 pounds on the weaver's beam. When you come to verse number 8, here is the cry of their champion. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye are servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down here and fight me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were, finish the verse please, dismayed and greatly afraid. This was a life-changing moment. This was nation versus nation. You're talking about independence. You're talking about freedom. You're talking about your way of life changing. You're talking about all of your hopes reduced down to the battle between man and one man and one man. You're talking about a man standing 9 feet 9 inches. Saul was the tallest man in Israel at that time and nowhere near 9 foot 9 inches. You're talking about a champion standing there undefeated and saying, send me a man. As the leadership begins to look and the soldiers begin to look within the army, there stood not a man willing to go. And so fear and dismay has penetrated into the heart of the nation, penetrated into the heart of that military might. And there they sit, dismayed and afraid. You can only imagine the intensity of that moment. When you come to verse number 12, it's almost like you're watching a movie and the opening scene has come with this tremendous act of danger and the stage has been set. And then they show this little young kid. I love how it goes in verse number 12. Now David, like he's interjected into the moment, was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. You know that David was the youngest of those sons. And so as you read the text there, Jesse, his dad, sends David to the battlefield to check on the rest of the boys. He sends him with provision. This is the way that it was done at that time. He was not old enough to go to war. He was to stay and to keep the sheep. When David makes his way to his brothers, you pick up in verse number 22. Verse 21 says, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, but still it's one man versus one man. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, again that word, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him." I guarantee you the king was trying to motivate. "With great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to this man? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" In the midst of that conversation, our text finds itself. The people answered, and David is beginning to marshal them. Hope is beginning to begin to spring forward. Inspiration is beginning to happen. And David's brother Eliab hears this. And David's brother Eliab, his anger is kindled against David. And there is an accusation made and a crime that is charged to David. Eliab makes the charge, and so does Saul make the charge. And the charge simply is, you're too young. You're a youth. And the charge is unmerited. The charge comes with evidence that Eliab portrays. You have this young man, ruddy, youth, full of passion and confidence, full of conviction and faith, full of trust and vision and understanding, full of victory and invincibility. And when it should have been in challenge and when it could have been inspiring, the kibosh was put on it, and the clamps were put on it. And the old bucks said to the young buck, "You're too young. You don't know what you're talking about." And they leveled a charge against him. An angry charge. Immediately they were convinced and assured of his naivety. And immediately they had written him off. Here is where I want to defend our young people of today. Sir, ma'am, father, mother, church member, nation, we better understand, we need our young people. We need our young people. The old buck generation was sitting there very much like the generations we have today. They saw the problem. They remembered a different day when they didn't have the problem. They talked about the problem. They identified the problem. They were working out a way to fix the problem, but they were scared out of their mind. And there were some things that the generation previous didn't understand. But the youth understood. Eliab, in his charge against David, makes some statements against David that I think are still made against youth today. Remember what I said. You cannot go to extremism of what I'm getting ready to say. In verse number 28, Eliab levels the charge of irresponsibility. What have you done with those few sheep that you were in charge of? Don't shirk your responsibility. You have no work ethic. You want to be a warrior, but first you need to learn to be a shepherd. Buddy, I worked my way to the top. We did it by our own bootstraps. Don't you come to me. You have no experience. There's no way you could fight this champion. There was the charge of irresponsibility. I would say that the charge against our youth today, from middle school to millennials, is that they are irresponsible. This charge is coming from a generation that's looking at the youth, a generation that I would submit to you is in dismay, a generation where the whole world is chaotic, a generation where we see the problem, but we don't understand the answer to the problem, a generation where our talk is bigger than our walk. We have not put our money where our mouth is, a generation that looks on the youth with disdain, but we're in dismay. I got news for you. No two generations are ever duplicate, but one generation is the product of another. So I'm here to defend the young people. I'm not sure they're so irresponsible just because you don't understand them. You arrogant, brash, cocky fool. You think life is just so simple. Don't you realize what's at stake here? Don't you understand that our whole nation will become subservient to them? Don't you understand we're dealing with people's lives? How dare you spout off at the mouth? How dare you talk about something you have no idea about? Oh, these are phrases and words. You have no respect for anyone or anything. Another charge against our youth. I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know your pride, your presumption, your selfishness, your nosiness. You think of no one else but yourself. You do your own thing as you please. You're not interested in anyone else. You're just interested in your plans, your desires. Charge against the youth. You're not serious. You're a thrill seeker, David. You just came to see the battle. To you, life is a game. I would ask the old buck generation, Pastor, who's the old bucks? For this message, it's anybody who's not a millennial. By the way, thank God I'm not a millennial. When did life stop becoming a game to you? Paul said, when I became a man, I put away. Think about in your life, when did you become an adult? When did you become a man? When did you become a woman? When did you put away childish things? To some, it was when you got married. To some, it was when you had a child. To some, it's when you went through a horrific tragedy. To some, it's when you got stabbed in the back so hard by life that you began to realize life's not a game. There was a charge leveled against David that he thought life is a game and all you want is a good time. And David said, I just showed up. Can somebody tell me what I did wrong? I want you to know that David was innocent of these charges. Would you come to verse number 20? Would you come to verse number 22? Look at them. And David rose up early in the morning. This was after his dad had given him direction. And left the sheep with who? With a keeper. Eliab said, what'd you do with those few sheep, you irresponsible little twerp? And David said, wait a minute. I did my job. I left those sheep with a keeper. I don't know about you, but I have learned that the youth understand things I don't understand. I've learned that my 12-year-old soon-to-be daughter can program my phone when I can barely get a voice message. David did his job. He was one step ahead of them in his mind. Look at verse number 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. That's interesting. By the way, look at verse number 34. David defending himself, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I sat there and cried about it and watched him eat the lamb. Does your Bible say that? And I went out after him and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Not only did he kill the lion and the bear, he saved the lamb's life. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I know the presumption of your heart, Eliab said. I know you're not serious. I know you're just a thrill seeker. Well, my friend, David in his youth was very serious. When's the last time you killed a lion or a bear by your bare hands? By the way, I don't suggest that. The accusations that were leveled against David were not true. And here's what I want to say to our young people. I'm not sure that the accusations we're leveling against our young people are true. I think that we have our old buck generation that is writing off our new generation just because they're young. And I think the new generation is saying, what did we do wrong? Well, you're irresponsible. Well, we've done our job. Well, you're just a thrill seeker. No, you don't understand. I've been prepared. I've been to school. I've been working. I've been doing this. Well, you don't think of anyone other than yourself. No. I've set up a GoFundMe page. We didn't even know what GoFundMe was. When I wanted to be funded, I went to my dad. The speed, the vision, the understanding of our youth. And I want to say something to you, Mom and Dad, and I want to say something to our next generation. Pastor, we don't understand the generation coming up behind us. I'll say two things about that. Number one, that's dangerous. And number two, that's your fault. Spend some time with them. Talk with them. Pastor, my kids, they just do things so different. By the way, so did you to your dad. You're just too old to remember. Well, Pastor, I see some irresponsibility there. Of course, train up a child. There's going to be irresponsibility there. But you're their mom. You're their dad. We're their leaders and their guiders. We can't just write them off. And the church had better not write off its young people because the world is welcoming them with open arms. The only crime David committed was that he was young. And in the middle of that, he simply said, can somebody tell me what I did wrong? Truth. Verse number 26. The truth is that David was serious. And he was not flippant. And when you come down to the verse 26, it said, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the, say those two words, living God? David was serious about God. David was serious about the vision of who God is. David wasn't flippant. David had laid underneath the stars and had seen the great creator. He had known the great creator in his heart. Even God himself said, there's a man in whom that has the heart of God. Even God called him a man. I think that our generation is making a big mistake to accuse the next generation as not being serious. I submit to you, they are as serious as a heart attack. Not only are they serious, but they're passionate. Look at verse number 29. David said, what have I done? What did I do wrong? Is there not a cause? David was passionate for God. David was passionate in his moral indignation. In David's mind, there was no room for compromise. I want to submit to you today that not only are our young people serious, but I think they're passionate. Now, let's just talk about a culture in which we're living in. Take in your mind and you go all the way back to what President Obama called the Arab Spring. And you look at the world and you start right there in that country and you come all the way around the world. You look into our streets. You go into Charlottesville. You go into our nation. You go into the movements and the uprising. And those streets are filled with young people. They're filled with young people. Passionate minds and hearts who have a vision and a confidence. They carry with them an invincibility. They hate status quo. They hate compromise. No matter what side they're on, they're motivated by an indignation. They're motivated by what they deem to be right. And they absolutely have the passion to back up what they believe. And the danger is that passion is going away from God's word and not to God's word. But imagine if that passion could be directed as servants for the living God. You would be a fool to discount the seriousness of our youth. And you would be a fool to discount the passion of our youth. David said, "Is there not a cause? What are you doing? How dare you sit there and let that uncircumcised Philistine defy my God?" Power, man. He was ready. You know what backed that passion? Go to verse 32. Courage. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and," say the word, class, "fight with this Philistine." In his youth, he was serious. He had passion. And he had courage. Oh, what happens to a man's courage as he gets older? Here's the nation of Israel. All those great warriors, man, they're sitting there shaking in their boots. Fearful and dismayed. In comes this kid with vision, with seriousness, with passion, and with courage. And the first thing they do, instead of allowing that to inspire, the first thing they do is, "Shut up, you stinking, irresponsible, arrogant, simple youth, and sit down." I would like to remind our church that it is the youth and was the youth of our nation that won our wars. It was some of you at 17 years of age lying and signing yourself into the military and going to give your life. World War II, yeah, you had men with wisdom and age that provided leadership and guidance. But when America needs courage, America calls on its youth. And it was our young men that hit those beaches. My grandfather was 19 years old. Immediately when he stepped on the beach at Normandy, he took a round that severed his left arm. He took a round that went through the back. And he took a round that went right off the side of his head. And he crawled on his hands and knees with his arm dangling through a barbed wire mess and left his arm. The last thing he saw was his arm hanging on that fence. That was my grandfather. It was my dad that hit the jungles of Vietnam, 18 years of age. He talks about taking a flashlight and a handgun, going down into the tunnels. He talks about going down there and doing what had to be done. It was the youth. It is still the youth of our nation that has courage to follow that flag and to run into hell and advance and bring the fight to the enemy. Thank God for that youth. Courage. For David, it was not only a national courage that inspired him, but his courage was born out of a simple, pure faith in God. Here's what I want you to understand, and then I'm going to make my plea to young people and I'm going to be done. Young people can be serious. Young people can be passionate. And young people can be courageous. And young people can be saved and they can be great Christians. And we need our young people as reinforcement to continue to carry the fight to the enemy. My dad tells a story about the chopper that took him out of Vietnam. And he said he got on that chopper and the chopper landed right beside him. And he said the chopper that landed beside him unloaded new recruits. And he said he saw a group of the whitest white boys you've ever seen in your life. He said they got off of that chopper and they had all their military uniform. They had their guns. He said they had a blank look in their face. They looked like they were scared out of their mind. They're heading into the jungle of Vietnam. And Dad said, I almost got off. I almost got off because I knew where they were headed to go. And he said there were many times in my responsibilities in that war that I was so glad to know reinforcements were coming. My friends, we need the reinforcement of our youth for the battle in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Get to know them. Spend some time with them. Don't you dare write them off. They're actually brilliant. They're actually nice people. They're not the monster you've made them out to be. They have vision. They're serious. They have passion. They have courage. They need direction. They don't need a generation of God's people scared out of their mind. They need a generation of God's people encouraging them in the Lord. Now, here's what I would like to say to my young people. From middle school to millennial. When David made his case to Saul, there's a verse in number 37 that Saul makes an announcement statement to. And this is what I want to say. God help me. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. What faith? And Saul said to David, go. Finish it with me, please. And the Lord be with thee. So young people, you're going to school tomorrow whether you want to or not. So middle school and high school, go, and the Lord be with thee, and the Lord bless thee. College students, go, and the Lord be with thee. Millennials, as you make your way into our world, go, and the Lord be with thee. And my prayer is that the Lord would be in your heart. My prayer is that he would be the preeminent love of your life. That you would have a seriousness and a passion and a courage founded upon your faith in God. The battle is raging. We need you. We need your heart for God. We need your passion. We need your vision. We need your courage. We need you to stand in the power of Jesus' name. We need you to stand in the authority of his gospel. We need you to stand on the power of the word of God. We are with you. We are behind you. We are proud of you as you go, and the Lord be with thee. You ever been inspired by a coach? You ever had somebody give a speech and it move you? I love what David said to Goliath, and I want you to read it with your own eyes, and I want it to move you. Verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee. I will take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Young people, carry the fight. Carry the fight. You're on the winning side if you're on the side of Jesus Christ. The power of his name, the power of his word, and the power of the glorious gospel. Go, and the Lord be with thee. And I would submit to the young people, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, your church will be with you. We will not be with you if you want to part away from the word of God. We will run after you and rescue you. We will not be with you if you want to part away from the doctrine of the word of God. We will not be with you if you want to depart into the worldly way. We plead with you not to do that. But as you have a heart for God and a passion and a zeal and courage develops with you, we will be with you in the fight. We will give you our wisdom. We will give you our prayers. We will give you our support. But we're old bucks. It's time for a new generation to come. Let me talk to the aged members of our church. Get involved. Mom and dad, you need to hear what this preacher is about to say because it's going to help you. You need to get involved in the life of your kid. You need to talk with your kid. You need to get to a position where your kid can communicate with you and open up their heart. I'm asking you right now some simple questions, mom and dad. Do you know the salvation testimony of your child? Well, no, my child's saved. I understand he's saved or she's saved, you think. You think. Do you know their testimony? Number two, do you know what they think about the Lord and about his word? Number three, what's their worldview? What's their worldview of what's going on now? What's their worldview of Charlottesville? What's their worldview of evolution? What's their worldview as it comes to what's going on in our nation? You ever sit down and talk about your kid and their worldview? I pray that my kids have a biblical worldview. It blows my mind. My dad and my mom constantly invested in me and knew what I was thinking and knew where I stood. And sometimes they hated where I stood. Sometimes it scared them, I'm sure. But at least they were there with me. They did not write me off. And when the world was welcoming me, it was my mom and dad who were warring for me on their knees and praying and investing my life. Our young people are coming into our church and they're saying, what did we do wrong? Why such the anger against us? Well, just because you're stupid. They're not stupid, they're brilliant. I don't understand you. What's not to understand? You created them. Well, you just do things so different. Well, you're irresponsible. Well, but I did it all. Well, you scare me with how much you believe. You scare me with how much you believe. Saul was scared out of his mind because David believed that God could do anything. It's a sad day when our young people got to carry the fight to believe that God can do everything. That ought to be something all God's people believe. I'm defending our youth today. They've done nothing wrong as young people. They need the gospel. They need leadership. They need prayer. They're serious. They've got passion. And they've got courage. Go. And may God be with thee. Shall we pray?